Hello and a big warm welcome to you and welcome to the Aware Parenting Podcast. My name is Marion Rose, PhD, and this is another episode in the series I'm doing where I take a little snippet from my latest best-selling book called I'm Here and I'm Listening. And these are sections from the end of some of the chapters where there's a story told through the eyes of a child. And I really, really love these so much. So I share these at the end of the episode and I share a little bit that's relevant to that in the actual episode itself. So today is all about sleep and why children aren't fighting sleep. Now, sleep is one of the core ways that brings parents to aware parenting, often looking for a third way rather than the two other options that are often apparently the only ones given to parents. But there is this third way. And I wonder if you perhaps came to aware parenting that way or if you know someone who has. If you would like to know more about the aware parenting approach to sleep and understanding sleep, I have done a whole series on sleep already. And I'm really excited to also announce that I'm going to be starting a second sleep series, which is all about sleep stories. And that will be starting soon in tandem with a live round of my Sound Sleep and Secure Attachment with the Aware Parenting Course 2.0 and the editing and publishing of my next book, which is all about sleep and aware parenting. So we're going to be diving deep into sleep. Oh, I love that. We're going to be diving deep into sleep. So if you would like to understand more about sleep, there's plenty more coming. And I love thinking about the conversations that I'm imagining I'm going to be having and knowing some of the guests that are going to be coming on to share about their experiences of sleep being transformed through practicing aware parenting. So if you're having a challenging time with sleep, I am sending you so much love and compassion. And I really think that is one of the reasons why parents so often find aware parenting, because many other things that are symptoms of unexpressed feelings have less of an effect on us as parents. But if our child is, or a baby is taking a long time to go to sleep or waking up frequently at night, it can have such a big effect on us that, of course, there can be that urgency to search for, surely there's another way here, surely there's some other approach to help a baby or a child be able to go off to sleep more easily, to be able to sleep more restfully, and to also be securely attached. And aware parenting's understanding of sleep, I think, is so beautiful and so powerful. And over 18 years of being an aware parenting instructor, I've heard so many stories of parents sharing their sleep journey being absolutely transformed. And I'd also like to name and include you if you're one of these people that sometimes the journey, even with aware parenting, can be nuanced and there can be all kinds of layers and levels to unravel. So sometimes the discovery of aware parenting means things shift radically. Sometimes if you've, and often if you've been practicing aware parenting right from early days, you might find sleep is effortless. That's what I generally found with my babies and children. And sometimes there are just other elements there that can still require a little bit of emotional detective work. So I'm sending love to you if that's you too. I'd really love to address this piece. And again, if you've heard me talk about sleep, you'll probably hear me say this a lot. It's something that I came to many years ago, is really turning that statement, children are fighting sleep, on its head, to really understand that if a child is tired and they're not going to sleep, it's not because they're overtired. In aware parenting anyway, we don't have that concept of overtired. It's generally because they have uncomfortable feelings sitting in their bodies that are making it hard for them to feel relaxed enough to sleep, even though they're tired, even though they really want to. And of course there can be other reasons there too. So we always talk about checking out for unmet needs, checking out physiological reasons, and understanding that much of the time it's actually us fighting a baby or child's natural relaxation response rather than then fighting sleep. So some years ago, I was wanting to make a concise map to really articulate aware parenting and sleep, and I came up with this map, which is about the three things required for restful sleep. Those three things are to feel tired, number one, number two, to feel connected, and number three, to feel relaxed. And there's a whole lot of depth in those three. I talk about that in other episodes. This one is more of a kind of a little short episode, so I won't go into all of them in depth. But to really understand that if your child is tired, if they're connected, for example, you might be lying down next to them and they're not going to sleep, it's probably because there are feelings sitting in their bodies making it hard for them to feel relaxed enough to go to sleep. And maybe sometimes and quite often we might do things to them that seemingly help them feel relaxed enough to go to sleep, but are actually bypassing the feelings in their bodies, which can then lead them to wake up in the night to try to express those feelings. So this is a really brief summary, but the more we can really deeply understand this innate relaxation response, the more we can see what's happening for a baby or child in relation to that, and the more we can cooperate with that relaxation and healing response, the more likely a baby or child is going to be able to sleep restfully without moving around all over the place, and to sleep as long as they need, or in the case of a baby, until they feel hungry. So I just love this way of understanding things. And as I said, for me, it really meant that sleep was mostly pretty easy in our family. And we co-slept for a long time. I'm a big fan of co-sleeping. Connection is that number two. And aware parenting is a form of attachment style parenting. And so it really is a different perspective to the belief in many other circles that we need to choose between secure attachment and sleep. This really is the third way that we can support our children to be securely attached and to sleep restfully. And that concept that's often shared of the toddler who's moving all around the bed or is upside down halfway through the night or is squishing the parent or parents so there's no room in the bed, that those would, from an aware parenting perspective, generally indicate that they're feeling agitation in their bodies. And similarly, if a child needs to be in a particular position every night, like they need to be under your shoulder in a particular position, and if you move even a centimetre or an inch, they would feel feelings, that also tends to indicate that that isn't meeting a need. It's actually they're in that position to suppress or dissociate from feelings that are bubbling up around sleep. So in my book, I'm Here and I'm Listening, I do have a chapter on sleep which talks about all of these things. As I say, if you haven't already listened to the series on sleep, I invite you to go and listen to that. And if you do want to dive in deeper, there's this new series coming. I do have a course that is available all year round, but there's going to be a live round for, and there's this book coming. So I'm really excited about that. And just as a little preface for the sleep story that's coming here next, that there are two ways to support children feeling connected and releasing feelings from their body to help them feel more relaxed. One of them's attachment play, and one of them's crying and raging with our loving support. So Again, it's a really different approach to many other parenting paradigms where we really trust our child. And if they are getting playful and silly and goofy and ramping up before bed, rather than trying to calm them down, we can really trust that they're innately wise. Their bodies know exactly what to do and are trying to release that tension, those feelings from their bodies. So there are particular ways that we can join in to support that release happening. And that may turn into something happening and them then having a big cry. But we can also support them to release or express crying or raging, and there are all kinds of ways that we can do that too. So it's a little intro, and as I say, there's that sleep chapter in I'm Here and I'm Listening, which is available on Amazon, and here's the little story from it. I'm so willing for you to find it as touching and moving as I found writing it. So much love to you, and see you next time. Mummy, I know that I'm 5 now, but I still like cuddling with you and chatting as I go to sleep. You got so grumpy tonight when I was all wriggly and I kept kicking off the covers. I really did want to go to sleep, Mummy, but I just couldn't. I closed my eyes and they kept on popping open again like popcorn. I wanted my legs to be calm, but they were like a kangaroo. But then, Mummy, I loved it when I told you that. And you jumped up and asked me if I wanted to pretend to be a kangaroo. That was so fun when we bounced around the room and kept on pretending to bump into each other and fall over. We laughed and laughed so much. I don't think I've ever seen you laugh that much before, Mummy. And then when we bumped that last time, I fell over and suddenly it was like shaking a milkshake and I just started to cry and cry. I didn't even really know why I was crying. Although I did miss you today when I was at school. I loved it when you held me in your arms and just kept telling me that you love me and that you were listening. I was like the little kangaroo in your pouch. It was such a funny thing, Mummy, because after that jumping and crying, I felt all relaxed. My legs weren't jumpy kangaroo legs anymore, and my eyes just fluttered closed like a little butterfly. I love going to sleep cuddled up next to you. Nighty night, Mummy. Sleep tight.